This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box podcast for coaches, players, and parents from all over the world, where we bring you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge, the status quo. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, bringing you the show from the Lineup Media Group Studios. As always, we are thrilled that you're joining us from all over the world on this great educational podcast. We want to get you the best teachers, coaches from around the world. And before we do that, don't forget, join us on Stitcher or iTunes. That would really help us. Go to our website, Baseball Outside the Box. You can see the logos there. Join the show. You'll get information on when the new shows are all up. They'll be emailed or sent right to your phone. If you love the shows, please give us a 5-star rating. That helps the show continue. Also, on the Lineup Media Group, you're going to listen to some great other shows like Jim Cromer on Baseball Talk, who does a great job with the issues of youth baseball. And also Chasing Pucks with Penger. That's all about the NHL. You got Bleacher Bums and so many more. So special thank you to the Lineup Media Group. Don't forget, love getting your emails, info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. Send me all your questions. We'll get back to you right away. And don't forget, also, we're all over social media. On Twitter, @BaseballOutsideTheBox. You can check us out on Facebook. All that information is on our website, BaseballOutsideTheBox.com. And today, we have a special show that we've never done before. We are currently at the American Baseball Coaches Association convention, the largest baseball convention in the world. We've talked to many people here during the show. This is actually my 34th time at the show, and this consecutive time, thank God. And, I've learned a lot of baseball from the different speakers. There's speakers here. There's exhibitors. And we walked around, and as we walked around, we identified three people that we really want to talk to in relationship to the development of the game. And these are three 10-minute segments that are going to give you some good information, definitely going to learn something. And then they will also have, this is a prelude too, to give you an idea of what's going on, to a show for each one of them, a one-hour show. So we're excited. These are all guys I've known, great people in the game. They're experts in the game in their fields. Just to give you an example, one of them, David Ozinski, I have known for a long time. David is he's a pitching expert. He's been all over the world. He's done test studies on pitchers all over the world. He's worked with the, and currently does, with the American Sports Medical Institute. That's with Dr. Andrews. He's down in Alabama, Birmingham. He's done a lot of research with Dr. Andrews. This is exciting. He's going to talk about the pitching biomechanics, the truth and falsehoods of pitching mechanics, and also arm injuries. Very important. Also, we have on the show Alan Jager. Jager Sports. He is an expert in, and everybody knows him. He's on Twitter. He's got so many Twitter follows because that's how good he is. He's an expert on the mental game and also meditation. I know you wouldn't think meditation in a game of baseball absolutely will make you play the game better. He's also an expert on arm care and a specialist in long toss. So we're going to be mixing all that up and talking about that. And lastly, a newcomer in the game. I say newcomer. He's been in it more than 15 years. Jose Rio with Rio Athletics. Now, this guy is the whole package. He's a great coach, great motivator. He loves people, loves kids. He's doing it for the right reason. His program has exploded, expanded. He has so many people that stop by the booth here at the ABCA. And we're going to talk to Jose about coaches and how to create a positive, motivating, and state-of-the-art environment. This is going to talk about how, things even off the field. What are we really teaching? We're teaching kids to be human beings, to be good people. So that starts from the field. So don't miss the show. We're just about to start. And later on, we'll come back at the ending and we'll tell you a little bit more of what's going on for next week. Again, this is Baseball Outside the Box. We're starting our first interview.
We are back at the ABCA with Baseball Outside the Box. And we are here at the exhibits, and as we're walking around, we're seeing one of the best coaches when it comes to the mental game, Alan Jaeger. And we got a chance to talk a little bit about before we do the interview, because we're going to do the interview right now. It's kind of an introduction, and then after the introduction, we're going to actually do a one-hour interview because it's going to be exciting. But let me first welcome Alan to the show, and then we're going to get into a little bit about the topic. Alan, I appreciate all your time, because I'm looking around here and I'm seeing, you know, there's a lot of people that want your time. I know it's important. So thanks for your time.
Hey, I appreciate being on. I'm excited to talk about the mental game and really how to implement mental practice into your daily plan. And so I appreciate you having me on.
You know, I was just talking just for 2 minutes, and you know, when you said mental practice, I'm thinking probably what everybody else thinks out there. Well, I got to work on my skills. Why would I want to work on mental practice with baseball?
It's a great question, because you have physical skills that you work on, you have mental skills. People don't realize something as simple as the word relaxation or clarity of mind. These are skills that you can actually work on. So if I want to get better at bunting or dragging, because I went to a school where I had to do a lot of bunting, I had to do a lot of reps of that. So if I want to get better at being more relaxed, well, that's a skill. How do I get more relaxed? There's ways to practice to get better at that skill, and it's a mental skill.
Now, here's the thing, you know, the foundation, I always believe the foundation of sport is at our younger levels, you know, our volunteers, moms and dads that are volunteering their time, giving time to their kids. Yes, because kids are in the program, obviously, and they want to help their own kids also. But if we can keep these kids in the game longer, you know, they're going to enjoy the game because they're successful. How does a mom and dad take a program like this and implement it within their practice organization? Now, they may only have an hour and a half, 2 hours max. How long of the practice should they be working on this? Give us a little kind of background on that. We could talk further as we get into the show later.
I'd say to keep it short. Look, it's ideal to try to get 15 or 20 minutes into some kind of a mental practice plan. But if you said I only had 5 minutes today, I could get a lot done in 5 minutes just to get kids to stop, number one, to tune into their body rather than what's going on in their head, to learn about their breathing and the value and benefits of breathing. So even if you just had 5 minutes of a very basic breathing exercise, the effect can be dramatic. And the main reason why is because you're doing it consistently, not once every month.
And that's no different with the skills. They should be keeping their skills consistent also. So we're talking about the same thing. Now, here's the thing. You got that hour and a half and you got a young coach. When do you implement that? Do you implement it before practice, after practice, or do you implement it within their drills?
It's a great question. I always would say at the beginning, because if you can get kids to stop and relax a little bit and separate from the day and clear their minds and get into their body a little bit, then you optimize the practice, because now they're tuning into the world that they're going to operate from to optimize their physical practice now.
Right. Now, this question is going to come up, let's say, if we had a general interview and you had an audience. Kids love exciting things. You know, you got 10-year-olds, you have 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds. They love action. They love movement. They love participating. Now, is this going to be exciting for them?
Well, here's the best way I can answer that. Maybe at first they're like, well, how is laying down or breathing exercises going to help me feel excited? And my answer is this. If you do it for a week straight and all of a sudden you're hitting 8 out of 10 line drives instead of 3 out of 10, that's exciting.
Yeah, that becomes fun.
Yeah, and if you're throwing 8 out of 10 strikes and you're having more fun on the mound because you're more relaxed, you're more confident, that's exciting. So maybe in the front end, it doesn't seem as exciting. It's like physical skills again. We do a lot of physical drills that don't maybe seem that exciting.
Right.
But if it leads to us being successful and winning, then it's exciting.
And the things they're going to do in practice, these are things then they can translate even a 12-year-old into a game.
Well, that's the idea. You know, as we were talking about earlier off the air, so to speak, you become what you practice. So you start practicing relaxing your mind and clearing your mind and relaxing your body and feeling more in the present moment as opposed to being into your head and thoughts about a bunch of stuff. You have a chance to start to become that person, and we'll get into this later, but if you study the zone, well, the zone is about the state of mind where you're very peaceful, you're very quiet, you're very present, and you're very instinctive. And to a degree, really, breathing exercises and meditation in general is about experiencing that state so that you can become that state, or more of that state at least.
And when you have a young coach, does it take long for them to learn how to do this and implement it within their practices?
Yeah, in all fairness to coaches, this could be something brand new to them. I think nowadays, you know, like yoga is so popular. Sure. I think there's a chance to have some experience with doing something that's maybe in that mental training field, if you will. But even if they didn't know anything, part of what they'll learn from this talk and part of what they can learn from a very simple article they can read that I've written or someone else has written, it really doesn't take a lot to just implement a very straightforward 5-minute practice.
Even though it's a podcast, give us an idea. Take us through one drill maybe that you might do with kids, that the coaches might do with kids. So give us an idea, and then that way the audience has an understanding of what they're going to hear about, you know, obviously a lot more things during the show.
Simple. I would just say I'd have somebody count their breath, and by that the inhalation would be like number one, the exhalation would be number two, and I'd have them see if they can just count even to 30, which might take about 3 or 4 minutes. Count to 30 without losing track. So you're working on concentration, you're working on attention, you're working on being present, and you're also working on tuning into your breathing, which is part of where we want you to start going. Because remember, your breathing is not a thought, your breathing is more of an instinct, and your best games are when you're tuned into your instincts. So that would be like very, very simple, but very powerful. Just counting your breath to like 30 or 40.
Awesome. And tell us, because we'll stop here in a little bit, but tell us, you know, Jaeger Sports obviously isn't, you're just not an expert when it comes to the mental game. You're also an expert when it comes to long toss, strengthening the arm, you know, the bands that you have. We're going to get into that a little bit too, but tell us a little bit about how people right now before the show can kind of research, you know, where they can go to research you a little bit, you know, on your website and all that.
It's the easiest thing I would just say is go to our JaegerSports.com, JAEGER, and the word sports. And if you just go there, we have at the very top of the homepage is a link that says articles, and there's about 15 to 20 articles, and there's a lot of mental game articles and throwing program articles, and there's J-band information. So you can get a ton of research done in a short period of time there.
Perfect. We're looking forward to the show, and I just want to, you know, I want to thank Alan for your time. It's been a pleasure. Don't forget, folks, we'll be sending out information. You'll get an email when Alan's show, you know, is online, and then we're also going to be discussing some things about injuries in the game, because I think that's important. Is there anything, just anything you want to let our audience around the world know, you know, something in general that might help a coach out? And then we'll end it with that.
I would just say to, if you're a coach, I think part of your responsibility is to do everything you can to optimize the growth and development of the players you touch, not just for baseball, but for life. And I just hope you would really consider doing more and more research into the mental game, because the mental game eventually is going to be the engine to the car. And I feel like that if you can get a little more educated into that world where you can teach a breathing exercise or talk more about the process and talk from some experience or some research, yeah, I feel like you're going to have a huge impact on that player, as opposed to maybe only teaching the physical part of the game, which is still very valuable. And I'm sure coaches out there don't just teach the physical, but they're also trying to teach them also to be good human beings.
But exactly.
I feel at the end of the day, the more they can educate themselves to teach the mental game, whether it's the approach or the practice itself, I just think that that's something that will make them the most gratified as a coach, that they can go into maybe more areas than just the physical part.
Super. Now, I'll tell you what, folks, don't forget now, you know, the game of baseball has got, you know, unfortunately kids are going to fail. And, you know, I got to believe this is going to be a great show, because if you can teach your kids how to deal with that failure, which is what Alan's talking about, it's going to be an outstanding show. So, again, we're going to see you probably in about a week. I'm Pete Caliendo from Baseball Outside the Box. We're doing a show from the beautiful Anaheim, California, at the American Baseball Coaches Association Convention. This place is going wild. We have over 5,000 coaches attending. Currently, we are at the ABCA exhibitors, and walking by, I saw one of the great, you're going to hear some great messages, a great coach, a great organization that's been around 17 years. I'm going to introduce Jose from Real Athletics. These are guys that really care about the game, really care about working with coaches, love what they're doing. They have exploded on social media because of what they do to help kids in the game and also parents in the game. So we're going to do a little introduction. It's going to be about 5 to 8 minutes. This is going to be a prelude to our one-hour show that we're going to bring Jose back probably next week. So first thing I want to do is I just want to welcome Jose to the show. It's great. It's great. It's the first time I've actually met you in person, but I've heard a lot about you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, it's awesome. And, you know, we were just talking a little bit, you know, obviously before the show started. And we want to make sure we're talking, you know, we're bringing the right things to the audience. And, you know, you were talking about how important coaches are, how important their, you know, ethics is very important, how the coaches handle themselves. Tell our audience a little bit about your philosophy and what you believe how coaches should handle themselves, and the repercussions of if they don't handle themselves well, what can happen.
Well, you know, one of my passions is to influence parents and coaches so the kids actually like them off the field as well as on the field. And I think a lot of parents and coaches go about it the wrong way. They want to teach the swing mechanics. They want to teach how to have proper throwing motion, but they don't care about the individual. And what I've seen is little things from swearing to treating a kid different when he goes 0-4 or 4-4. Next thing you know, a kid at 12, 13 years old, his whole identity is how he plays in baseball. And what happens is he starts getting into drugs and alcohol and sleeping around and doing some things. And I tell coaches and parents, it's as little as how you treat someone after a game. How they play is who they are as people. And I am passionate about changing the culture and helping parents and coaches understand from swearing to how you treat someone to how you look at someone, whether it be during the game, post game, before the game, can have a lifelong impact of what we do as coaches and parents today.
And you know, you and I hit it off right away, because as soon as I talked to you and you said something about swearing, and I told you straightforward, my biggest pet peeve is any coach at any level, especially high school level also, because they've got an example, but also our volunteers that are working with really young kids, it sends a real bad message, you know, that's okay, obviously. Now, you talked about parents and coaches. That's interesting, because, you know, a lot of times we just want to educate the coaches, right? But then aren't the parents part of the either problem or solution?
Well, the reality is the parent's the number one coach. Yeah. We can try to pay select organizations like ourselves or other people, but at the end of the day, the parent's going to have way more influence than the coach will. And so I think we as a society got to understand to educate parents about what to say and what not to say. And a lot of parents have good, well-meaning stuff to be able to do. Sure. But, you know, there's a lot of kids like me growing up. My dad died when I was 8 years old. I had no influence, no anybody, and it was my mom and coaches, right? And so parents got to understand that they have a great opportunity to influence and have a great relationship with their kids. But at the end of the day, you can mess it up pretty easy if you're not really intentional about what you do and how you go about it.
Jose, let me ask you, if you've got a team and you're a coach, and whether you volunteer or any level, you want to include the parents in things that you do so they understand, so the communication is there? In other words, what do I do with the parents? Because, you know, parents are going to be talking behind coaches' backs sometimes. Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? What's the best way to have everybody involved? Obviously, educating the parents is one way, but give us an idea how a coach would do that.
Well, it's a challenge. There's no question about it, because you're going to be questioning every call, whether it be calling a fastball or a curveball or where you play their position and what you do. It's hard, you know, because for me, it's personally, I want everybody to like me and know that I care about the kids. But at the end of the day, you're not going to please everybody. But the biggest thing you can do is be a great example for the kids, right? And so if you don't yell, you don't swear, you don't holler, you don't treat them different because, you know, they don't perform as well, then the parents actually start respecting you as a coach and as a man, because parents, I have 5 kids, and I need other people to help me raise my kids, and the more positive influence that I have, the reality is you're going to have less problem with the parents if the parents know that you care about the individual first.
That makes sense.
And the reality is if you don't care about the kids first, they're not going to play for you hard. They're not going to listen to what you have to say. You can talk about, you can be in the big leagues for 20 years, but if they don't know you don't care about them as people, they aren't listening. And so what we've been fortunate with the Rio Athletics, to be able to train so many kids across the country, flying in, doing stuff, we care about the kid first. And if you care about the kid first, they play their heart out for you. And I really believe that we've taken teams that are above average, but not elite, and made them elite because they believe in each other, learning to be a good teammate. And I tell the parents, you don't talk to the umpire. You don't make a big scene. You sit on the bench, you smile, you say, go Johnny, and you do the best you can, and you encourage, because we're going to be that example. And I think that's been the message that we've tried to preach and teach, to understand that families need to know it's so much bigger than that one game that no one's going to remember next week.
Yeah, and you know what? There is a culture, unfortunately, in the U.S. where it was created somewhere where yelling at umpires and getting at umpires is very common. You know, when you go to other countries, you go to Japan, you go to a lot of countries in Asia, they don't say anything about umpires because it's a respect factor, and you've got to teach that respect. How do you, you know, you've had classes for coaches, I'm sure you have also had classes, I think, for parents. Tell us a little bit about the courses or classes that you have with a coach and how you educate the coaches.
Well, I did write a book a few years back that went out, and that's been helpful. I've had literally over hundreds of families tell me it's changed their relationship with their kid. And one of the things that I always talk about in my book, my wife and I adopted a special needs baby that was born with drugs in her system, cleft lip and palate. We had to feed her through a tube, and we just felt like the Lord called us to adopt her, and she has changed our perspective about life. So when I see coaches freak out because they lose a midweek game at 13-year-old or a semifinal game, or their son strikes out, I say, you know, chapter 8 of my book is perspective. And keeping life in perspective and keeping the game in perspective. And we want to teach life skills. We want to teach work ethic. We want to teach commitment. We want to teach discipline. And all that stuff can take place. But at the end of the day, if you're going about it the wrong way, it's not going to work. And so the book has helped some people. It's called Creating Winning Relationships Through Sports. I'm not that smart of a guy. There's a lot of pictures in it. It's a 20-30 minute read. But I think it opens up the eyes for parents and coaches to understand the true influence that we have in the lives of young people, whether they be 8 years old or 18 years old. They are listening and watching our actions. And if we put our arm around them and say, you know what, when everyone else is picking up balls, how's life? How's school? You know, are we as coaches thinking about our lineup and our pitch counts more than we are about the actual individual? Yeah. About how are we going to respond when that umpire, you know, makes a bad call? I've had multiple umpires come up and say, Jose, I have been waiting a year or 2 years to umpire your game. Yeah. Because when we make a bad call, you call time, you ask a question, you get it right, you don't get it right. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, it's about treating not only the umpire, because they make a mistake just like you and I make a mistake at our job.
Exactly.
So why do we have them to a different standard?
Yeah.
You know? And so I could go on and on understanding that we have so much life impact on these kids, and it's how we look at them, it's how we approach ourselves. And so how do I get the resources out? How do I do that? At the end of the day, it's just about living the right way. And people will see more than you actually tell them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And setting the example. Now, you know, and I always wondered, you know, the umpires, obviously, I think you said it perfectly, you know, they're human beings. And how you talk to them is important. You know, and I never understood why people had to go out and yell all the time at umpires. But tell us also a lot of the information, your book, Real Athletics. I know you got Real Athletics, Real TV, but I'll let you mention it. Tell us how you get some, you know, how you purchase the book, how you contact yourself. And because we got our audience all over the world. And I think it's important that, you know, we spread the word of what you guys are doing, not just in the U.S., but all over. So tell us a little bit of how we can contact you.
Well, our rehobaseball.tv is a website. It's an online weekly TV show. We have weekly challenges in there. So what that means is we have challenges for kids about being a good teammate. We have a 3-second rule. You strike out, you get it, you have 3 seconds to get over it, and then it's about being a good teammate, being a good friend. We want you to be competitive. We want you to be upset that you got out. But it's learning to get self-control, to be able to discipline yourself, to worry about someone else is more important than yourself. Mm-hmm. And so rehobaseball.tv is a good resource. My book is called Creating Winning Relationships Through Sports, and it's just by Jose Rijo Berger, and Troy Silva's book, 9 Innings of Hitting, has great mentorship.
Yep.
In terms of, you've done a radio show
that
with him.
Yep.
And so, you know, and our website, rioathletics.com. And at the end of the day, it's not about us selling books or this and that. We want to change the culture in the game of baseball, not just in drills, not just in exercises, because the reality is less than 1% of the kids are going to make it anyway.
Right.
But we can have a lifelong impact about how they coach, about how they treat their brother, about how they treat their sister, about how they treat mom and dad, you know, and learning responsibilities, because we want to get out of this entitlement world. I could go on forever right now, but at the end of the day, it's, we talk about all these kids are entitled, and they want to go from team to team. I think we as parents have created that. I don't think it's the kids' fault.
I agree.
And I think we got to work through stuff, and I think we got to stop making excuses for them. And if they get cut, they got to try out for the same team next year. No, just find the next one. And so it's teaching life lessons, but doing it in an encouraging way and giving them hope and giving them direction and giving them purpose and focus, you know. And so I'm passionate about it. Until the day I die, I'm going to be teaching and preaching and coaching and about being positive, looking people in the eye, doing the things to impact people for life.
You know, and baseball's lucky to have you guys. You guys, like I said, you've been a big impact already in baseball, not just here, but I'm sure in other places. And this is a great intro, because for our folks all over the world, this is just a little teaser. You're going to hear Jose, because we're going to do an hour show. We're really going to get into that, because I, you know, those little pet peeves that you have are the same ones that I agree with you 100%, and we need to get that message out. So on behalf of Baseball Outside the Box, just want to thank you for this short clip here at the American Baseball Coaches Association. Look for Jose. We're going to send you out a link. You'll know when the show's going to be on. You do not want to miss the show, because this is going to be outstanding. So, Jose, again, thank you very much, and then we'll see you on the show soon.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. And for everybody out there, we are at the American Baseball Coaches Association Coaches Convention, the best baseball convention in the world. There are coaches, over 5,000 coaches here, not only from the U.S., all levels, from professional, Little League, you name it, they're here, and also from around the world. Just walking around looking at the 300 exhibits, saw a great friend of mine, which I have a lot of respect for in the game. He has done so much for baseball in the game and continues to do it, David Ozinski. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, and then we're going to talk about the situation that a lot of people are talking about in the game of baseball, and that's injuries when it comes to the pitching and why there's so many injuries occurring in the pitching arm for young kids nowadays compared to the other days. So we're going to talk to David about that. Before that, let me tell you a little bit about David. He's the executive director of the American Baseball Foundation, currently the executive director. He's been all over the world. He's been actually in 40 countries where he teaches baseball. He was the executive director of the International Baseball Foundation and Federation. He's also lived on four continents. I can't think of, he speaks Spanish. He was the director of the coaching program that started in Australia, which is actually one of the best coaching programs in the world. So his background is tremendous, and it's going to be a great experience to talk to Dave a little bit about the issues of pitch, you know, pitches, pitch counts, injuries. So right away, let me say, David, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Pete. It's great to be here, and I don't know if I've ever had a more flowery introduction than that.
And I'll tell you what, we try to do our best because we, you know, on the show, we want to bring some of the best people, and we want people to understand, you know, what kind of background, because you've been doing this game a long time, and you've seen a lot of things in the game, and you have a larger perspective. It's not just about in the U.S. You've been to 40 countries, so you see a broader picture. And tell me right away, because tell me about the research you've done and the companies you've been with to give us a little background, and then we'll get into the injury aspect.
Well, the not-for-profit that I run is called the American Baseball Foundation. We're located in Birmingham, Alabama, which is the home of research related to pitching and has been for the last 30 years under the direction of James R. Andrews, MD, noted orthopedic surgeon, and our friends at the research institute called the American Sports Medicine Institute. So it's been great over the last 22 years to actually be in Birmingham and to take part, a small part, but to have the ABF take part in research related to baseball pitching.
And I'm assuming that, you know, there's experts everywhere in the game, obviously, but when you've got research behind you, that's got to support a lot of the things that you're either trying to teach or you're trying to explain to people that might be good or bad in the when it comes to baseball development.
Well, unfortunately, the research has several things that it needs to say to coaches. And many times the coaches will be very reluctant to receive the information because it can affect how they coach the game, and of course it can affect wins and losses.
And it can affect some youngsters' health also if they're doing the wrong things.
That's exactly right. That's what the research says. For example, the greatest cause of injury among pitchers from youth to adults is overuse. Other factors such as conditioning and even the mechanics have not proven to be as important as the overuse factor. And therefore, for the last 10 years, ASMI, under Dr. Andrews, has been promoting the idea of pitch limits rather than any type of inning limits.
Yeah, you know, and that makes a lot of sense. But what's interesting you said was that mechanics are still important because I'm assuming if you have pretty good mechanics, you can take a bigger workload.
That's true. Theoretically, you have less stress at the elbow and the shoulder if you have good mechanics. However, there is still a lot of stress, especially the people who throw harder in the high 80s, 90s, and even the 100s now.
And the kids that are, especially the young kids, we're talking about 18 and younger, where I think most of the issues are starting at 8 years old, 10 years old, or 11. What type of, is it for all kids you got to be careful with, or certain type of kids, or, you know, because I've heard, I remember you mentioned to me one time, you got to watch out for kids who throw really hard, more sometimes than maybe the kids that don't throw as hard.
That's probably true. The research that the ABF has done, and we've gone several parts of the world, we've gone to the countries that actually provide Major League Baseball with its players. That is Japan, Mexico, Venezuela, Dominican Republic. And we've taken data on 8 to 14-year-olds, and we have a score for their pitch speeds and their throwing distances. And the point is that if an athlete, no matter what age, that is in our spectrum of 8 to 14 years old, is four standard deviations over what the world average is, then that athlete needs to be protected more. And it doesn't make any difference what the age is, because we can identify by the spit speed that athlete is so far above the norm that his growth plates, because between 8 and 14, your growth plates are still enlarging. And if you have too much stress on your growth plates, then that's when injury occurs at that age category.
And for all our coaches around the world, when we're looking at pitching, are we saying that, okay, you got to watch out all year round how much they pitch off a mound and practice off a mound? All those issues have to be taken into account. And is there a time where they need to rest?
Well, there's the research shows that that the athlete should not pitch more than 100 innings in a given year, in a given 12 months. And that presumes that athlete has at least a three-month rest. That is no throwing and no pitching during at least three of the 12 months. So that combination of rest and then limiting the amount of innings pitched is a good recipe for protecting the athlete.
Wow. So now what about, you mentioned throwing. So kids shouldn't even play catch all year round?
No. If the athlete is a, let's say, a relatively good pitcher, the pitcher should rest for 3 months and not include throwing during that rest. Now, he can condition for those 3 months, but he should not be throwing or pitching during those 3 months. On the other hand, you want the athlete to be throwing during the other time, because the throwing probably is going to help him build arm strength. But you want to cut off the amount that he's throwing and pitching for a three-month period.
What about an athlete who's not pitching? Can he throw all year round?
Athlete who's not pitching probably could throw all year round. Although, once again, you have to wonder why in the world you'd have that athlete throwing, because it's also been proven that an athlete who plays more than one sport is probably a better athlete. So to have the athlete constantly throwing is probably counterproductive to the long-term development of the athlete, because he or she could be playing other sports and become a much more well-rounded athlete with better agility and quickness and overall conditioning.
Now, is there, if we take the 12-year-olds and under, and we say 18 and under, is there a difference in months rest? Like, will a 12 and under have to rest more than an older kid?
No.
Same.
No, it would be the same.
Right? Wow, okay. So now let's take quickly the mechanical part. And to all our audience out there, so you know, this is about a 10-minute interview here at the American Baseball Coaches Association. We're going to have a full interview with David Ozinski on the podcast. So this is kind of like an intro, but there's some really great stuff here, and I know there's going to be a lot more. Let's take the mechanics. If there's something mechanical that hurts a young pitcher at a young age, and you have to pick one, maybe two, and you can add as many as you like, but give us the top two or three that coaches really need to look for. And I know that a lot of coaches don't have the expertise, so they need to, you know, kind of know some of the easier parts. Let's put it that way.
Well, let me pick out one that is relatively easy to identify, and that's the positioning of the ball, the throwing arm, when the front foot is down in the pitch. And the athlete could probably see that the athlete is either early or late. And late is quite obvious, because the ball can be in any position where the ball is below the elbow, and maybe the elbow is even below the rear shoulder, and therefore the athlete is beginning that great torquing movement, and the ball is out of position. And that definitely, bringing the ball into position during that torquing movement, is going to put more stress on both the elbow and the shoulder without question. So having a late arm, for example, is is actually one that's going to cause more stress on the athlete no matter what the age is.
That's fantastic. David, this has been great. We're looking forward to having you on your show. So, again, great seeing you at the ABCA, and God bless you, and hope that everything's going well for you, and we look forward to doing the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking about baseball to UP.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. That concludes our show from the American Baseball Coaches Association. We had three great, great coaches, instructors, teachers. We had David Olszynski. We had Alan Jaeger and Jose Rios. It was a pleasure meeting them and seeing them at the ABCA. We've been walking around the ABCA for 3 days now, and we've seen a lot of great people. We selected these three individuals specifically for their knowledge, their background, what they can do for our show. So that was a great, 10 minutes of each guy kind of giving you an introduction of what their show will be about. We'll have a full hour show with each one of them coming up. So don't forget, go to our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. You can get all our social media information there. Spread the word, please. The more we spread the word, the more people we get on the show, the more we can keep the show going. It really helps. We've got some great feedback, and we appreciate all your help. We're at Twitter at Baseball Outside the Box. Again, don't forget baseballoutsidethebox.com. My email, info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. Send me any questions. Let me know what you think about the shows. Really love the feedback because we're always trying to improve the show. And remember, we're here trying to help coaches, players, and parents from all over the world bring you the most creative, innovative thinkers and outside-the-box communicators that we feel are updated when it comes to the development of the game. So don't forget, coaches' education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show and also other podcasts and going online. Learn every day. Our interviews, we feel, are some of the best coaching minds and innovative thoughts that like to challenge the status quo. So we love that you're here to listen to our show. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. See you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.